the word. I don't care how far I gotta drive. I'ma get my honeycomb. I don't care if I gotta sit through a long service, but I'ma stay till I get my honeycomb. I gotta be satisfied by the word. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there's great reward. We need to know that by the word of God, he warns us. Yes, he does. And guess what? But if we keep his word, if we receive his word, he said there's great reward. One scripture tells us that there's a re-reward. Means that he rewards you, then he rewards you again. I'm all for rewards. You know, sometimes everybody can get an award. Oh, come on and say amen. They got perfect attendance awards. I showed up. So you can get an award. But when we start talking about a reward, that means you did something to excel. You went above and beyond. You got something that other folks couldn't get. Come on and say amen.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Second, hallelujah.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for the opportunity to hear your word. Lord, do tonight what you desire to do in both your word and to those of us who are hearers and doers of your word. Lord, let the Holy Ghost take the text and tailor the teaching we are teaching tonight, that every hearer's heart might not only hear and see, but understand and operate in the principles that you shall reveal. We give you all praise, glory, and honor in the name of Jesus. And all the believers said amen, amen, and amen. God bless you as you are seated in the presence of the Lord. We are still dealing with our success series and certainly understanding principles of faith and understanding how to operate in those things that the Lord would have us to operate in to get from him those things he wants to transfer into our lives, into our spirits, and so that we might be able to have what God has designed for us. We're talking about tonight, challenged by the seen, changing the unseen. Challenged by the seen, changing the unseen. This is a spiritual principle that we're going to, by the Holy Ghost, magnify upon to help us understand how to operate. All of us are challenged by the seen, by the things that we see in the natural realm. They affect us in one way or another because we are made of both flesh and spirit. The flesh is that natural part, again, that is given to this world, to those things that we see and operate in the natural. We see with our natural eyes. We have feelings and emotions through our natural body. All of these things that we deal with affect us in the flesh. But then that is not all that we are given to. We are made of spirit as well. So we have dust, that's the flesh, divinity, that's the spirit. When we recognize that we too have the ability, because we're made in God's image and shaped and in his likeness, and we have the ability to create and shape our world through the words we speak, just as he did in Genesis chapter 1, then we begin to realize that we have the power to change the unseen, because that has to do with the spiritual realm. Most times we think like the world in terms of those things that we see, not realizing that just because we do see them, just because they do exist, that it is not over or that it's not an end to and of itself. That if we go into the spirit realm, we can change some things about what we see, but what we see is usually the manifestation of choices that we've made before now, and it has come to pass. Well, if we don't like what we've got, we don't like what we see, and as it were, changes our choices we've made in times past that brought this to fruition now, it's the choices we make today that's going to affect our tomorrow. So if we don't like what we see now, we need to start speaking it and changing it in the unseen or the spiritual realm to make it again manifest itself and materialize in the natural world the way that we desire it to. In other words, we then begin to realize that we do have the power to speak those things that be not as though they were, but it has to be connected not only with our faith, but with the Word of God. See, you can speak a whole lot of stuff that's not and you want it to be, but if it doesn't have a biblical basis, God is not under warrant to back it up. It's just like naming it and claiming it without the power and the permission doesn't give you what it is that you hope to possess. And so it all has to be done according to spiritual law and principles, and that's what we're dealing with tonight. Challenged by the seen, changing the unseen. Looking at the seen is not always what it seems. Looking at the seen is not always what it seems. Now, how many times have you looked at the natural, someone in the natural, and you looked at that person and you said, man, they look mean, and that might have been one of the nicest persons you ever did see. Got to know them, but you just looked at them, and just from that look, you saw that and you surmised it was this. How many times you looked at somebody and you thought they looked all sweet and nice and kind, and man, wind up being the biggest hellion you had ever gotten to know? Things are not always the way they appear or how they seem. And that's the same way with things that we see in our lives with our natural eyes and with our natural minds. And so many times we make judgments on those limited perspectives. And we do ourselves a great injustice and miss God and miss our blessings many times. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want us to look again at what Paul is saying to the church at Corinth. Now, I want to back up, if you will, to verse 8 and just look at the fact that Paul was sharing something with them that I think is so important for us to understand. Now, he starts in verse 8 by saying, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroy. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Now right here, even as we're going through these scriptures, you're going to see the interplay between the flesh and the spirit and how he's talking about that is done in the spirit manifests itself in the flesh. And so he's dealing again with the unseen and the seen. And when we begin to recognize these are things and how they operate from the unseen to the seen, not the seen to the unseen. I say they operate from the unseen, the spiritual, to the seen, the natural. Not from the natural, the seen, to the unseen. Now, we can have an effect on the seen, but that's not going to be done in the seen. See, our problem is when we try to straighten out some mess that's been made in the seen, we try to handle it in the seen, in the natural. See, but you got to realize that some of that stuff started in the unseen. And you've got to understand the spiritual a warfare that's going on. You've got to understand many times, sometimes the things that you're dealing with are far bigger than you, and there are greater powers at play than you and the things that you're dealing with. So you're going to have to know what the Word of God says about your situation, about your circumstance. Understand what God is saying, and from that begin to operate in the spirit realm through prayer, through your confession, through your releasing of words that are like seeds that begin to sow and grow and shape the world that is to come for you. So all of these things you're going to note are going to really have their greatest impact in the unseen world, in the spiritual realm, rather than the natural. So many times we are reactive instead of proactive. Reactive is when we see it in the natural, in the flesh, then we respond. Proactive is when we go in the spirit and dictate what we want, so when it shows up in the scene, we ain't shocked. Matter of fact, you just getting what you've ordered, what you've designed, what's been designated. And so there's a difference. And too many of us have learned to live in the reactive state rather than the proactive state. And this is where we need to get into these principles here to recognize this. So Paul is dealing with some of this, and of course, concerning Christ. And he says, verse 11 again, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. He learns a principle from Old Testament, from David, understanding how spiritual law works. You believe it as the word of God, and once you believe it, you begin to speak it. David believed, David spoke. He said, we believe, we speak. Same principle. You learn the principles, and after you learn the principles, you practice the principles. The principles are not going to come into play, into focus, into motion, just because you know the principle. I believe, therefore have I spoken. We believe, therefore we speak. So it don't do you no good, don't profit you at all to learn all this word and don't walk in it. Don't do you no good to sit here and listen at these, take notes, get all of this, and don't begin to operate in it. Now listen at this, because you're going from the seen or the unseen to the seen. Just because you speak it in the unseen don't mean it's going to manifest itself like magic right now. So you've got to know this is of faith. So that means when you speak it because you believe it, not you believe it because you are seeing it. Did you hear what I just said? So if you don't see it right now, does it mean you don't believe it? Because when you speak it, that should be the manifestation of your believing it. And if you believe it and continue to speak it, sooner or later, you're going to see what you've been speaking. But just because you don't see it, don't mean that you give up and stop speaking. Say, well, I guess that wasn't meant for me. Maybe that don't work. Again, I believe, therefore have I spoken, David said. Paul says, I believe, therefore I speak. Again, keep that principle in you, understand that. Again, notice what the word says, verse 15, 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, listen at this, but through our though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, again, it's dealing with the spiritual realm and the natural realm, the seen and the unseen. What he says, and this is so important, he says the reason why we don't just give up and roll over and play dead is because God's got this thing fixed. What I see is not the end. And because I know that, this is what you got to realize. Even if on your situation, in the natural, it says the end. The flesh might see the end, but the spirit says there's part two coming. They don't say the end on to be continued. They say to be continued. But when the devil wants to make you think your situation is at an end or it's dead or that what God has promised you is not the case, then it's the end placed on that. But you got to realize it may be the end in the flesh to a certain situation of what the enemy may be able to do, but God is able to do, because when they thought it was over for Lazarus, and the sister said, don't even bother about going down. It's 4 days. His body's already starting to stink. He said, but you hadn't heard part two yet. And he goes, show me where y'all laid him at. And then he tells him, roll the stone. And then he calls his name. And what happens? Listen again, because I want you to see something. Verse 17 says, for our light affliction, which is where I'm trying to get to, which is but for a moment, listen at this, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You mean to tell me what I'm going through in the flesh, that you've got something bigger and better and everlasting waiting for me? Now listen at this, because I want you to see this. Get this in your spirit, for our light affliction. Now, some stuff you're going through, you might not consider it. You'd be like, yeah, he ain't talking about my situation, because this heavy. And what's this issue about this moment business? Because you got to realize it's a moment against the backdrop of time, against the bosom of the heavens. It's a moment in that grand scheme of things. And so what looks like to be an ongoing situation, a moment in the natural realm, is very different from a moment in the spiritual realm. And so when you convert them over, one moment in the natural is very different from a moment in the spirit. Just like in God's timing, one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as one day. So you got to understand there is a difference in how it is viewed. But when you view it against the eternities of what God promises you, whatever you're going through, however long it may appear to be, it's nothing compared to what God's got waiting on you that's going to be enduring as the eternity is. Now, keep in mind, again, he says in his word, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, even though that moment might be hours, maybe days, maybe weeks, maybe months, maybe even be years, he says it's but a moment. And look at what it's doing. It's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So look at this. The longer you go through what you're going through, I know you only see it from the flesh, but if you could get a glimpse in the spirit, every moment you are going through what you're going through, on the flip side of that, is that it's working for you a far greater weight. Listen at this. It's not only better, but it's everlasting. Now I want you to see, on the flesh it's light, but in the spirit it's weight. Well, I don't think y'all got that. When God sees your affliction, it's light compared to the heavy weight of reward that you get for trusting Him for what you're going through. Look again, I want you to see this. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding. Exceeding what? Exceeding all of the affliction that you're going through. Exceeding what? Exceeding all of the gloom that you've got to deal with. Exceeding what? Exceeding all of the pain, the problems, the pressures, the troubles, the tribulation. The weight of glory is exceeding, excelling, going far beyond the stuff you're going through. In other words, when you come out of it, you're going to be like, Lord, I see why I got... Listen, whatever you've gone through, the reward is going to be far greater than that if you don't limit yourself to the flesh. And here's another thing. When you begin to get these principles in your spirit and in your mind, then you ain't got to suffer all the while you're going through it. See, you might have to go through the test, but ain't nobody say you got to cry every day you're going through it. Look, I'm going to hurry and finish up this test because I got something waiting on the other side that's better than what I'm going through. So let me go and make it through this thing. It ain't got to, look, you ain't getting paid for every tear you shed. He don't mention nothing about no tears and those. He just said for our light affliction and light against the reward of what you get as a result of that. Look again at what the word says. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen. Now see, that's my problem right there. My problem is I'm looking at what I see. And the Lord has given instruction not to look at that. Y'all remember Lot's wife, don't you? Don't look. See, our problem is we always won't look at the scene. Child, Sodom and Gomorrah gonna burn. They want to catch one more look because I wish somebody is burning up in there that I know ought to be burning up in there. She trying to see what she could see and what happened to her. She got turned into a pillar of salt because she wanted to see the scene. Wanted to see the scene. Paul says, we walk by faith, not by sight. One old preacher said the reason why we shouldn't walk by sight is because we see too much. And that could be, I mean, how many times you weren't scared till you saw something? Then you got scared? Big old grown people. Up in their apartment, up in their house. They ain't scared till they put on a scary movie. Then they got to sleep with the lights on. Leave the television on all night. Put on music and stuff. Hear the air conditioning click on and off and they shiver and shake. All of that because of the scene. See, that's some stuff you ought not be watching. Because it's going to have an adverse effect on you. Somebody else say if you go looking for something, you'll find it. And then here's what's crazy. What you gonna look for stuff that's gonna mess you up for anyway? I just wanna know. Okay, when you know and hit the flow, that's your business. Yeah, I wanna see for myself. Okay, then what's gonna happen then, Brother A.D.? Huh? See, look again, I want you to see this. While we look not at the things which are seen, that almost seems ridiculous, preposterous, crazy, how am I going to look at what I don't see? Because again, we lose ourselves in the flesh when we recognize that we also have a spiritual mode that supersedes the flesh. And if we learn how to look with the spiritual eye, that's the eye of faith, to begin to operate in spiritual law, to not see it from the fleshly vantage point, but from the spiritual vantage point.
See, your view is so much more limited from the flesh. Right here. In the flesh, I can only see what my eyes can gaze, can gather within my view. And even from the peripheral, I can see a few things on the side. But that's a very limited perspective. But when I go into the things of the Spirit and ask the Lord to show me from the spiritual realm, I see stuff not limited to just the seen, but I see stuff, God will show me so much that it would be mind-blowing, because what he'll do is he'll go not only minutes and hours and days and weeks and months, but he can go years into my future and show me some stuff I could never see in my flesh. And so when I begin to operate in what I know to be the word of God, the will of God, the way of God, I stop looking at the flesh and the scene and making my determination by those things. Because again, looking at the scene is not always what it seems. And guess who loses out when their focus is on the scene most times? Because how many times have you honestly misjudged a situation? It looked like one thing when it was another thing. You walk in and you see one thing and you don't know what it is. I mean, your mind can play tricks on you. So, you know, again, I mean, we judge based, again, on a limited perspective, on a limited knowledge base, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and miss God many times. There are many instances in the Word that we could go to. Our time is short. We've got to move forward. But I want to, again, show you a few other things that is necessary for us to reach where we need to go. And one, I want to deal with creating right images. We need to recognize one thing. It is God's Word that will establish the image of the unseen within us. It is God's Word that will establish the image of the unseen within us, creating right images. Now, why is it important to create right images? Because, again, you are seeing in the unseen realm. So if you're seeing in the unseen or the spiritual realm, you've got to create a whole different world from the natural world or the natural view of the natural eyes. I'll share some examples with you in just a moment, but I need you to understand that if you're going to see in the unseen, to establish what it is that God is showing you, it must be based on the Word of God. It can't be my feelings, my emotions, my thoughts, how I think it ought to be, how I think it ought to be done. It's got to be based on the Word if I'm going to have God to undergird those things that I am believing him for in the spirit realm, underneath the skin, in my mind. So I've got to recognize that God's Word is going to be the only thing that can establish. Why? Because if God is not in agreement with what I'm thinking, it's not gonna happen. If his word differs from what I feel, then I don't have a right based on the word of God to think that way or to believe for that way. Now, because God's word has a plan for everything in our lives, it is up to me, study to show thyself approved. This ain't for you, this is for me. Approved a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here's the thing. If I try to base a thought, a precept, a concept, a principle that I feel is right, and it doesn't have its basis in God's word, I do not have God's promise or his power to bring it to pass. In other words, let's say God has a plan for all of us being blessed financially. Will you agree with that? According to the word. But let's decide, let's say I decide I don't want to do it God's way. You know, I really don't. I want to do it my way. So I decide, okay, Lord, I want to get rich. I don't want to do no whole lot of stuff for it. I don't necessarily want to follow your principles. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it honestly now. I'm going to just go down to the convenience store and buy me a few lottery tickets every day or every week or whenever the case is, and just hope and pray that one day they're gonna call my number.